kind of re-examining some things here that I hadn't really thought about in a long time. And one of them is all these supernatural manifestations that Pentecostals take for granted. And I'll tell you what, you just got to have a respect for the Word. You know, respect for the Word will keep the mixture out of the church. Because there's a lot of mixture in the church. Some of it's from God and some of it's from the devil. Some of it's Babylon and some of it's truth. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, "Be sober and be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And I tell you, I believe we need to pray that God will help us to be sober and to be watchful. Because in some ways, people are given the devil permission. It says, whom he may devour. They're given the devil permission to devour them. Sometimes it comes little by little. You know, it doesn't come suddenly and some big deception, you know. It comes with a foundation of little deceptions that have been laid by false prophets and false teachers. In 2 Peter 2 and 1 it says, "But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them." Now, you know, you can deny the master without saying that you don't believe in Jesus. You deny the master by following after false teachings and false ways rather than following after the Lord. That's how you're denying the master, because that's what master means, right? Bringing upon themselves swift destruction. "And many shall follow their lascivious doings." That means excess, right? An excuse for excess. "Lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." These lascivious doings in the church that are going to be passed on by false teachers are going to cause the way of the truth to be evil spoken of. "And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not." God is going to destroy the people who lead his people astray and deceive his people. And you can see it even now. We've seen it for years. Some people haven't recognized that's what's really happening. But you see these false prophets being destroyed. You know, the pleasures of sin, the Bible says, is only for a season. I mean, the devil deceives you and he bribes you with the pleasures of sin and you go after them and they don't last but for a season. And then what? A person starts reaping what they sow. And but the reason that the devil is bringing some of this lasciviousness into the church, and I'm speaking of in the form of manifestations of the so-called spirit. Okay? And the reason the devil is doing this is so that the way of truth be evil spoken of. So that the world looks upon it and sees it as something evil. You know, I know you've run across the same thing I have. Talk to somebody about the Lord and they quick point you to some preacher, you know, that fell and was a fornicator or something all the time. He was preaching righteousness, you know. And they use that for their excuse, you know, to not paying attention to you. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here. They're these people, these ministers who've fallen away and many others, are causing the way of truth to be evil spoken of. Well, the devil's out to do that. He's out to make Christianity look foolish. And I'll tell you what, you'll swallow it too unless you have a real respect for the Word. recently went into a church, and when I walked in, it was kind of early. I went in there kind of early, and I noticed off to one side of the building there was a bunch of people there that looked like they had nervous disorders, the whole bunch of them. I'd seen it before, you know. And they were jerking and twitching, and some of them were on the floor, and some of them were throwing their hands up over their head and just... And I thought, well, that's nice. I hope they get prayed for tonight, you know. And wasn't long after the service got started, I realized that that's the people that they had prayed for. That's why they were that way. They had literally received this thing that people called a manifestation of the Spirit. They received it through prayer. And they were acting like people that had a spirit of infirmity. And the preacher got up and talked about how that the principal of the local school had called him and told him that he was sending people home that were jerking and twitching and rolling and doing all these manifestations, and asked the preacher, well, what do you think about that, you know? And the preacher was kind of proud of it, you know. I felt bad when I heard it, because these young people were obviously in school to give a testimony for the Lord, you know. But their testimony was destroyed, and the devil did it. And it wasn't the Lord. I don't care how much they think it's the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's not the Lord's way to cause foolishness to, or confusion to destroy his testimony. A good example, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This should be a good proof to you. In verse 23, it says, if therefore the whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues. Now we know that tongues is a bona fide manifestation of the Spirit of God. There's a reason for tongues. There's no foolishness in it. There's a really good reason for tongues. And that is that when you pray, your understanding doesn't get into it, and you can pray according to the will of God because your carnal understanding doesn't get in there. Very good reason for tongues, okay? But even tongues has had rules set upon it so that we as Christians don't lose our testimony before the world. And it says, if therefore the whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues, and there come in men unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy and there come in one unbelieving or unlearned, he is reproved by all, he's judged by all, and the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so he will fall down on his face and worship God, declaring that God is among you indeed. Now, if it's true with a bona fide manifestation of the Spirit that you don't want to do it in front of pagans because you may destroy your testimony, or the way of the truth may be evil spoken of, and they'll say you're mad, then it's certainly true of some of these manifestations that you can't even find in the Bible. And these kids were going to school with these twitchings and jerkings and flailings of their arms that they got in the so-called revival. And obviously that's not the Word of God. You know, it's not God's way to destroy the possible testimony that these kids could have. Tongues are great, but they're great for the believer. You praise them. They're not even edifying to the church unless there's interpretation. That's why he said he'd rather that people would prophesy unless the person interprets. The person who speaks in tongues edifies himself, which is very good and very necessary. You can't edify others if you haven't edified yourself. But in the church, it's better to speak with the understanding in order to edify the people. In other words, the manifestations of God are to edify people. They're to edify the people around you. And he exhorted the people to speak in tongues, not to get up and address the assembly in tongues, because it wasn't edifying the people around them. Now, if it's true for a bona fide gift of speaking in tongues, it's certainly true for these other so-called manifestations. If they don't edify the people around you, then God says don't do it. And, of course, people with a religious spirit may think, you know, that they're very spiritual to go out there among the heathens and do these things that some of the old holy rollers did, you know. But that wasn't Paul's opinion, and that wasn't his method. 1 Corinthians 9 and 19 says, "For though I was free from all men, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more." In other words, he brought himself under submission to the people around him so he could gain them. "And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And to them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. So, to the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof." Well, this idea is diametrically opposed to what Paul's talking about here, this idea of manifesting these questionable manifestations among the lost. I mean, Paul was talking about being all things to all people that he might save some. In other words, being weak to the weak, you know, meeting them where they are, not doing things that look foolish in front of them, and destroying the testimony of God. You know, there was a Baptist preacher in that assembly, and he got up and testified how that he had real questions in his heart when he left there. He didn't feel good in himself. He admitted he did not feel good in himself when he left that meeting, and he questioned God about it, and he asked God to please tell him what's wrong or what's right. And God spoke to him a verse. And he quoted that verse. It was in 1 Corinthians 14, right where we just left. And it says, "God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And I'll just tell you the other verse he got was, "To lean not upon your own understanding." Well, of course, if we study the Scriptures, and we really, really respect the Scriptures, then we're not leaning on our understanding, we're leaning on God's understanding. And it's important that we study the Scriptures to find our answers. You can't find the answers through your feelings. You can't find them through your great wisdom. You can't find them through your emotions. You can't get them because you respect men. Okay? Because it's very possible you may respect a man very much, and he might teach something wrong and lead you astray. But God is not a God of confusion. Well, the verse before it says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Now, you know something I've noticed? There is a difference between manifestations of the Holy Spirit and manifestations of demon spirits. Manifestations of demon spirits may start out with needing your permission, but the more they go, the less they're interested in your permission. They become involuntary, and they become possessive. And you may even begin to jerk and to twitch and to do things that you're not meaning to do at all, but that this religious spirit is meaning to do through you. Something I noticed, you know, traveling about and going to different churches and different church groups, is that among Pentecostals, There are different manifestations in different groups. I got to meditating on this. Now, why, if this is of the Holy Spirit, is not the Holy Spirit manifesting His gifts everywhere? And I came to this conclusion. Since it's that particular religious group that manifested this particular manifestation, which they called a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't in other places, and it's that religious spirit that's doing it. That religious spirit is manifesting in that group. And I'll tell you some reasons why, you know, as I go on. But I'm beginning to realize that everything that Pentecost said was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not. There is a great mixture out there. And the devil's got a reason for manifesting these things. But the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Meaning what? Meaning if it's a gift from the Lord, that prophet can stop it or he can start it. You know that? Go back and read. Let's read the manifestations of the Spirit and let's see if some of these others are in there. The jerking and the twitching and the rolling and all that stuff. Let's see if they're in there. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Now I want you to look at something else. As we read down through here, just see if these are involuntary or voluntary. You know the Holy Spirit isn't making you do anything, is He? He's guiding you. In fact, you know what His method is? The Bible says He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. In other words, the Holy Spirit moves through our will. He doesn't do things against our will. He doesn't do things without our will. Okay? You may say, well, when He moves on you with a prophecy, that didn't come from your will. That's right, it didn't come from your will, but your will has to agree with it. The Lord is not pushing that on you. People that don't want that gift don't manifest it. Okay? Now, there are diversities of gifts with the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministrations in the same Lord, and there are diversities of workings, but the same God who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. Okay, now he's going to list the manifestations of the Spirit. Now, isn't it strange that a lot of these manifestations Jesus manifested? Most of them He manifested. We have a good example of them in the Scriptures, and we have them listed here. But some of these manifestations that we've been seeing in churches that they're calling revival are not listed in this Bible. You can't find them in this Bible. And they're excluded in this list. And not only that, these in this list are voluntary. Okay? For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings in the one Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these, worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally as He will. Now, why wouldn't He give a larger list there if there was a larger list? You know why? Because God doesn't want you to accept everything as a manifestation of His Spirit. And He's definitely going to tell you in His Word what is a manifestation of His Spirit. And He's not going to add to His Word things that aren't a manifestation of His Spirit. So, God put this in here for our protection. Okay? The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. What if you've got a bunch of people running around in the church, and their spirit is not subject to them, and they're doing things that they are not in control of? Does that sound like it's the Holy Spirit? Not according to these verses. You know, if they're falling around, rolling around, throwing their arms up over their head, twitching. One of the girls that got up and testified at the platform had to have somebody on each arm holding her up. Right after that, when the pastor came up and stood beside her and started talking in regards to this twitching movement, something hit him in the stomach. I saw him double over, and he obviously with pain on his face. And two men came and got him and took him over and helped him. And he looked like he was kind of drunk. Took him over and set him down. I thought, well, I guess that. And everybody was praising the Lord like it was another move of the Spirit. Well, I believe it was a move of the Spirit. I believe it was a move of the religious spirit. And I've noticed in different religious groups, different manifestations are brought forth that are peculiar to that group. And as I meditated on today, I felt like the Lord showed me, hey, religious spirits don't have no manifestation. They have a manifestation. And they like to manifest supernatural signs because people respect supernatural signs. And the only problem is every supernatural sign is not from the Lord. And people are respectful of them. But people, it seems that people see something supernatural lately. If it comes from a church or it comes from a preacher, then it's God. But God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is going to use our will. We've got to submit our will. We've got to invite the Lord to use us in these gifts. We should be inviting the Lord to use us in these gifts, because that's the way He's going to manifest Himself in supernatural power to the church. It is necessary. We're commanded to seek that you may abound to the edifying of the church, the spiritual gifts, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. We're commanded to do that. We must seek after these gifts. These gifts. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives several of these gifts to us. And if there's a lot of preachers running around giving some other kind of gift, whether it be a laughing gift or a rolling gift or a twitching gift or any of these other kind of gifts, I think we should be suspicious of it. I'm more suspicious now than I've ever been. And I like to see the supernatural move of the Spirit. I like to see the Lord move in supernatural things that edify the spirit of man and not the flesh of man. Because some of these manifestations of the Spirit, so-called, give people ecstasies. They give people good feelings in their flesh. And I've even had people ask me and beg me to pray over them so that they would have this feeling, you know. Oh, Brother David, I need to go out in the Spirit. You know, I've had people ask me that, you know. And you know, I thought, no, that's not really what you need. What you really need is more God. You know, you don't need a tantalizing feeling in your flesh. You need more of God. God doesn't want us. He wants to wean us away from being moved by our feelings and by our emotions. And yet, I see people that claim a move of the Spirit upon them, that their emotions flip from one thing to the next just as fast as they can flip. You know, they may be crying and laughing. And, you know, they're just flopping back and forth. And they say that's a move of the Spirit. Well, I don't believe it. I believe that is demons, because demons love to have you dependent upon your emotions. A person who is weaned away from being moved by their emotions is a stable person. They can be moved by the Word then. If they're moved by their emotions, if they're moved by their feelings, they are untrustworthy, because they'll always be manipulated by the devil. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14 that the devil comes as a messenger, an angel or a messenger of light. He comes as a messenger of light. Meaning we're going to see in our day messengers of light, those ministers of truth, what we call. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into a messenger of light. Angel of light. That's what the word angel means, messenger. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay, now the devil's not going to come to you, as you know, with his pitchfork. He's going to come as a preacher of the truth, as a preacher of the word. who else is the church going to listen to? That's how the devil is going to come. Is he doing it? Yes, he is doing it. There shall be among you false teachers, false prophets. There shall be. The Word of God says there shall be. So look around you. If you think you've never seen one, you're wrong, because the Bible says there shall be. Now, look around. They're there. And if you can't see them, then you have a problem. And your problem is you're not respecting the Word of God enough. You're respecting the traditions of men too much. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, what we do, in word or in deed, we have to do it in the name. That means in the nature. The word name there, onoma, is nature, character. In the nature, in the character of Jesus. Did you ever see Jesus foaming at the mouth, rolling on the ground, twitching? In the Scriptures, you never saw any of that. Now, you saw him manifesting these gifts I just read to you in 1 Corinthians 12. So you can do that because you can do that in the name. But whatever you do in word or in deed, in other words, if your words don't agree with what he said, don't say them. You don't have permission from the Scriptures to do that. Okay? Whatever you do in word or in deed, in other words, your deeds should represent, since you are an ambassador of Christ, meaning you have gone into a foreign country to represent him, then your actions and your words have to represent him. They have to be a reflection of him. Okay? So some of these things we're seeing in the church, we see no reflection in the Scriptures. We see no reflection in the life of Jesus. We see no foundation for us to accept them, other than there's a mixture. Spiritual experiences for the flesh, that's what a lot of these are. The first verse I read says, be sober. Okay, I re-examined something today. Look at Acts chapter 2. Verse 13. The Bible says, be sober. Now, the Bible ain't going to tell you be sober and be drunk at the same time, is it? I mean, God's not going to make you drunk and then tell you, be sober. You know? Well, I always heard about being drunk in the Spirit. Okay? But the Lord checked me today and he told me, go back and read that and see if those people were drunk. So what I did, go back to chapter 2. Let's go up to verse 5. Now you can imagine people thought they were drunk. Look at what happened. Well, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we, every man, in our own language, wherein we were born? The Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, in Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, sojourners from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God. Couldn't be drunk and do that, could you? Okay? And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, what meaneth this? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. You know, people have said, you're crazy too, haven't they? You know why? Because they don't want to accept what you have to say. They'll say that you're crazy. You know why? They're afraid that what they see in you is true. And so what they do, they fight against it. The Jews fought against Jesus. The Jews fought against the disciples. So they're filled, others mocking said they're filled with new wine. Look, somebody with new wine in them couldn't do what these people were doing. They were trying to come up with an explanation. It's kind of like people trying to come up with an explanation how God parted the Red Sea. And you've all heard the explanation. Some of them are totally nuts, the explanation. But they've got to come up with something. They've got to disprove a miracle. They've got to disprove God. So they come up with something, right? They're filled with new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel. It shall be in the last days, saith the God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens in those days, I will pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Well, the things that he's saying they did obviously weren't being drunk, were they? They were prophesying, and they were speaking in the spirit, and they were seeing visions, so on and so forth. These things. But the idea that they were staggering around drunk in the spirit, if you read it carefully, I don't believe you can get that idea. I don't get it now, especially since I found out God said, "Be sober."
Yeah.
And then, how can God be a schizophrenic, make some people drunk, and then tell them to be sober? No, I don't care how you get drunk. If you're drunk, then you're not in control of your faculties. This is the thing that enables people to be deceived and to be demon-possessed, is because they're not in control of their faculties. If you give up through passivity yourself to some gift of the devil, then you did it through your passivity. You're not supposed to do that. You know, if you notice, a lot of people who administer the devil's gifts in seances or in teaching people how to be prophets, you know, among the lost, they teach you to be passive in your mind. You know, just be blank in your mind. And that's how the Spirit comes upon people. By not being in control, not checking, not being able to say no, you know. Well, I think that the people here who were mockers were doing just that. They were mocking. But these people weren't drunk. These people were anything but drunk. They were just speaking in a language, and it was so convicting to these people that they couldn't stand it. Well, I saw people drunk there the other night at that meeting. They were staggering all over, falling down. Something that if any lost person would have come in there, they would have spoken evil of the truth, of the way of the truth. Since people there and preachers there that were doing it were obviously representing Christ and confessing that they believed the Bible, it was confusion. It's confusion. Why? Because the spirits of these prophets were not subject to them. A person is passive in their mind when they're allowing some other spirit to come in and be subject unto that spirit, okay? But God doesn't give a person a gift so that to make him a robot, because the Bible says the spirits of the prophets are subject to them. In other words, they're always in control. They can stop it when they want to. You know, it's always been that way with me, with the gift of tongues. I can start it and I can stop it. Paul said, "I will speak with my understanding. I will in the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. I will sing. I will." He used his will. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing. They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They did it. They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. God is not going to take away our will. He's going to use it. He is going to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, you may open your mouth in an act of faith that God will fill it, and He will fill it. But you got to open your mouth. And it's the devil who takes unfair advantage. It's the devil who possesses and takes the involuntary decisions away from people. And He's out to make fools of us before the world. That's what he's doing. You know, I remembered something that I hadn't read in many, many years concerning the things that we've been just talking about manifestations of the Spirit. Jesse Penn Lewis, many years ago, after the outpouring of the Spirit in the early part of this century, traveled around the country and looked in on a lot of different Christian groups and saw a lot of abuse of the supernatural. You know, there's always, when God starts something, there's always an opportunity for the devil to come in too, because once God opens the door for the supernatural, then the devil can bring in his supernatural too, can't he? You know, as long as there are churches that don't believe in the supernatural, then you don't have to worry about them being deceived for the supernatural. I mean, at that time, there was a lot of the Methodists and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and so on. They didn't want any supernatural in their churches. And so they didn't have any deceptions from the devil in that regard. They had deceptions from a lot of other directions, but there wasn't any deceptions from that regard. It was when God opened the door by the outpouring of His Spirit that the devil came in to copy and to mimic and to lead people astray with other manifestations that are not in the Bible. And so, yeah, when a person gets baptized in the Spirit, their eyes get open to the supernatural. They are in a vulnerable position. They better love the truth, because in that vulnerable position, the devil can come in and bring his supernatural copyings, kind of like Jannes and Jambres with Moses, you know. I mean, they copied almost everything Moses did. There came an end to their power. Well, same thing's happening today. It's happening in the church. Jannes and Jambres are loose and manifesting their supernatural gifts in the church. And they're not of God. They're not in the Scriptures. And so what I want to do is just read you a few things that Jesse Lewis wrote in her book. It's a very good book. I don't agree with everything there, but just listen and see if you don't agree with some of it. Because as we said, if you really respect the Scriptures, you're going to look for these manifestations in the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, the manifestations of the Spirit are listed, and these are not among them. So that should give us a suspicion right there. Let me just read you a few things here. Under this title, Dual Streams of Power. You know, one thing that's bothered people a lot is, if this minister preached such a good sermon, and it was right on, how could he manifest or lay hands on people and manifest a gift that doesn't quite look scriptural if it's not from God? I mean, don't signs and wonders follow them that preach the word and believe? Is it possible for a person to have a mixture in them, you know, and at one moment be manifesting the word and another moment be manifesting some religious spirit? Well, I'll tell you, that's totally true, isn't it? We've all manifested a mixture in our life, haven't we?
Yeah.
Right, to some extent. So it's possible, right? Okay, listen to what's being said here. It says, from such possessed believers. Now, if you don't believe in possessed believers, you need to go back and study the word, because there is such a thing. From such possessed believers, there can proceed at intervals streams from the two sources of power, one from the Spirit of God in the center, and the other from an evil spirit in the outer man, with the two parallel results to those who come in contact with the two streams of power. In preaching, all the truth spoken by such a believer may be of God, and according to the Scriptures, correct and full of light, and the spirit of the man right, whilst evil spirits working in mind or body make use of the cover of the truth to insert their manifestations. Why would God permit such a thing? Let me just say this. Why would God permit there to be truth spoken and in the same service false manifestations to deceive people into some false gift? Well, it's very simple. God permits this for the reason of weeding out from among His people those that don't love the truth. Because those that love the truth are not going to swallow a lie from the devil. They're going to respect the word too much. They're going to look in there to see if these things be so. Like the Thessalonians, who were of more noble spirit than the rest, they searched the word to see if these things be so. Well, if a person has a noble spirit, they'll search the word to see if these things be so. And if not, they'll swallow it because it's supernatural. It must be of God, and I respect the man, so it's got to be good. All right? Boy, don't get your eyes on men. We've got to get the words of men under our feet. Let me tell you about this dream I had the other night. I was the first batter up in a baseball game. I care nothing about baseball whatsoever. I was the first batter up, and everybody had their eyes on me. And I stepped up to the mound, and I stepped up to home base there, and I looked at the base, and there was a hole in the ground where the base was supposed to be. And I was standing there with my bat, and everybody was looking at me, you know. And I said, we're going to have to fill up this hole, you know. And I directed people to go get newspapers and put them in that hole to fill up that hole. We were looking around for something to fill that hole up, and I directed them to get these newspapers and fill that hole up so we could stand on the newspapers. And you say, well, that sounds nutty. Well, at first I thought it was too until I got to thinking about it. You know, you've got to get under your feet. You've got to have total under your submission the words of man, the news of man. You know, it's the good news that's going to make a difference, right? But man is giving you his news the way he sees it, right? The news of man, the word of man. You've got to overcome the word of man to be able to, like Paul talked about, run the race and to win. You've got to overcome the word of man. We're all going to have to overcome the word of man. It's going to be in the church. We've got to overcome it. Well, anyway, that newspaper filled up that hole, and I stood on it. And as I looked, you know, down towards first base, I saw that there were people sitting in, or there were chairs there for people to sit in, and some of those chairs were obstructing my view of first base. So I stopped right there, and I put my bat down. I walked down towards first base, and as I went, I started kicking those chairs out of the way so that I could get a good view of first base. You know, we've got to get our eyes on where we're going, and we can't let anybody get in the way of where we're going. The only way you can get your eyes on where you're going is in the Word. It's so funny that you can look in the Word and not see the organization that men have called the church. Isn't it so funny? You look in the Word, and it's so strangely different, isn't it? You know why? Because people got their eyes on men. They don't have their eyes on, they have their eyes on men and men's organization, and they think that's it, that's right. Get your eyes on the Word or you'll be deceived. Okay, that's what that dream was about anyway. And it says, let me read on. So they make use of the cover of the truth to insert their manifestations so as to find acceptance with both speaker and hearers. This is to say, there may pour through a believer at one moment a stream of truth from the Word, giving light and love and blessing to receptive ones among the listeners. And the next moment, a foreign spirit, hidden in mind or body, may send forth a streamlet through the soulish or physical part of the man, producing corresponding effects in soul or body among listeners. You know, a man don't have to lay hands on you to impart his spirit to you. Did you know that? Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. But I want to tell you, a man with an evil spirit, his words are spirit, and they are death. And he passes them on the same way Jesus passed his words on. They go into you, and they recreate that spirit in you. Okay? And that's what she's saying here. Who respond in soulish or physical part to the satanic stream, either by emotional or physical manifestations. Notice that. It's emotional and it's physical, these manifestations. They are to tantalate your emotions and your physical man rather than your spiritual man. That's the difference between the manifestations of religious spirits and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Or in nervous or muscular actions, In one place over here it was written this way, and nerves and muscles are twisted in contortions and convulsions such as are described in the scriptural records. In other words, like demon-possessed people, but he's talking about church people. Church people. Okay? Okay? One or the other of the streams of power from the Holy Spirit in his spirit and from the deceiving spirit in mind or body may predominate at different times, thus making the same man appear dual in character with short intervals at different periods of time. See how he speaks, how he seeks to glorify God, how sane and reasonable he is, what a passion he has for souls. May be said of a truth with truth of a worker until some moments later some peculiar change is seen in him. And in the meeting, a strange element comes in, possibly only recognizable to some with keen spiritual vision, or else plainly obvious to all. Perhaps the speaker begins to pray quietly and calmly with a pure spirit, but suddenly an overwhelming, overmastering power falls upon him, and no one thinks of resisting what appears to be such a manifestation of God. The majority of those present may have no idea of the mixture which has crept in. Some fall upon the ground unable to bear the strained emotion or effect upon the mind. Some are thrown down by some supernatural power, and others cry out in ecstasy. The speaker leaves the platform and passes by a young man who becomes conscious of a feeling of intoxication upon him, which does not leave his senses for some time. Others laugh with the exuberance of the intoxicating joy. Some have had real spiritual help and blessing through the Word of God being expounded ere this climax came, and during the pure outflow of the Holy Spirit, consequently, they accept these strange workings as from God. Because in the first stage of the meeting, their needs have been truly met by Him, and they cannot discern the two separate manifestations coming through the same channel. If they doubt the latter part of the meeting, they fear that they are untrue to their inner conviction that the earlier part was of God. Others are conscious that the manifestations are contrary to their spiritual vision and judgment, but on account of the blessings of the earlier part, they stifle their doubts and say, "We cannot understand the physical manifestations, but we must not expect to understand all that God does. We only know," I've heard that stated too, when you see people doing goofy things in church, "well, we don't understand everything the Spirit does or why He does it." Well, that's what the Scripture's been given for. And God warned us ahead of time. Now look, this is the manifestations of the Spirit, and He lists them. And He doesn't list some of these. In fact, they're not manifested in Jesus' ministry, the disciples' ministry. What's wrong here? Are we seeing something new? Is God doing something new? No, religious spirits are doing something new. But it's not new, is it? We only know that the wonderful outpouring of truth and love and light in the beginning of the meeting was from God and met our need. No one can mistake the sincerity, the pure motive of the speaker. Therefore, although I cannot understand or say I like the physical manifestations, yet it must be all of God. Briefly put, this is a glimpse into the mixed manifestations which have come upon the Church of God since the revival in Wales. For almost without exception, in every land where revival has since broken forth, within a very brief period of time, the counterfeit stream has mingled with the true. And almost without exception, true and false have been accepted together because of the workers being ignorant of the possibility of concurrent streams, or else have been rejected together by those who could not detect the one from the other. Or it has been believed that there was no true at all because the majority of believers failed to understand that there can be mixed workings of the divine and the satanic. In other words, some people wouldn't believe any of it was true because of what they saw, right? They don't believe in mixtures of the divine and the satanic, the divine and the human, the satanic and the human, the soul and the spirit, the soul and the body and the spirit. The three latter in the way of feelings and consciousness, and the three former in the way of source and power. There must be more than one quantity to make a mixture, at least two. The devil mixes his lies with the truth, for he must use a truth to carry his lies. Otherwise, Christians won't accept it, right? The believer must therefore discriminate and judge all things. He must be able to see so much to be impure, and so much that he can accept. Satan is a mixer. If in anything he finds 99% pure, he tries to insert 1% of his poisonous stream, and this grows. If undetected, until the proportions are reversed, where there is mixture acknowledged to be in the meetings, where supernatural manifestations take place, if believers are unable to discriminate, they should keep away from these mixtures until they are able to discern. Okay? Let me read you something else. Under counterfeit manifestations of divine workings in the body. Counterfeit manifestations of the divine life in various ways now follow quickly. Movements in the body, pleasant thrills, touches, a glow as of fire in different parts of the body, or sensations of cold, or shakings and tremblings, all accepted by the believer as from God, but showing what a full entry the deceiving spirit has obtained to the bodily frame. For there is a distinction between the manifestations of evil spirits with and in the body and the mind of the believer, although when they are really inside, they can also make it appear that they are outside, both in influence and action. When evil spirits are really outside, the desires and desires of entry, they work by sudden suggestion, which is not the ordinary working of the mind, but suggestions which come from without, flashes of memory. Again, not the ordinary working of the memory, but coming from without, touches and twitches of the nerves, feelings of drought, and sensations of wind blowing upon the circumference, etc. When the evil spirits are inside, the whole frame is affected, at times with the pleasant sensations referred to. You know, the pleasures of sin for a season, right? They last for a season before the devil starts taking advantage in other ways and bringing sickness and bringing destruction to the families, to themselves, but it happens. When the evil spirits are inside, the whole frame is affected, and at times with the pleasant sensations referred to, but at other times with pains in the head and in the body which have no physical cause, or else so working with the natural that the supernatural cannot easily be distinguished from it, such as accelerating the heartbeat so as to appear palpitations. And in other ways, working with the physical causes so that that part has natural ground and part is from the accentuating force of evil. Depression then ensues in proportion to the previous exhilaration. Remember I was talking to you? I've seen people that the spirit, so-called, came on them, and they were swinging back and forth in their emotions, up and down, back and forth, laughing and crying, just all that. That is what the devil does with people. In order to get them dependent and listening to and paying attention to their feelings and their emotions rather than the Word of God. We've got to be weaned away from emotions and feelings. We've got to pay attention to the Word. We've got to walk by faith and not by sight, not by feelings. And that's what the Lord will do if we will let Him. But false manifestations try to wean us back to depending upon the emotions, to depending upon sight, to depending upon feelings. And so, depression then ensues in proportion to the previous exhilaration. Exhaustion and fatigue in reaction from the demand upon the nervous system in the hours of ecstasy, or else a sense of drainage of strength without any visible cause. Grief and joy, heat and cold, laughter and tears all succeed each other in rapid changes in varied degrees. In brief, the emotional sensibilities seem to have full play, and that's the problem. Emotional sensibilities have full play. Listen to this. The counterfeit of the presence of God is mainly felt upon the body and by the physical senses in conscious fire, thrills, etc. The counterfeit of the presence in the atmosphere is felt by the senses of the body as breath, wind, etc. Whilst the mind is passive or inactive, the person is affected by this counterfeit presence will be moved almost automatically to actions he would not perform of his own will. That's what I was saying earlier about your will. God moves through your will, and the devil can move without it. And with all his faculties in operation, he may not even remember what he has done when under the power of this presence, just as a sleepwalker knows nothing of his actions when in that state. The inaction of the mind can often be seen by the vacant look in the eyes. And I've seen that too. The vacant look in the eyes. Supposed manifestations of the Holy Spirit. From a book recently published, said to contain the very words of the Lord Jesus, spoken through some of his children, and written down as spoken in the first person, the following brief extract is taken, showing the extent of the mediumistic control by deceiving spirits, which some are believed to be the working of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is supposed to have said, "The manifestations of the Spirit in some things are very strange. Sometimes he will twist the body this way and that, and the meaning is dark to you. I want you to know some things about this part of the Spirit's work. I want you to see that they are not useless. If you had spoken in your own tongue when the Spirit came in, it would have graciously blessed you. But perhaps you might have thought it was yourself, as many have. So the Spirit comes in and speaks in an unknown tongue to you, that you might know that it was not yourself speaking. Okay, but whoever this is speaking, and it's not the Lord, as it says it is, he's comparing tongues, a bona fide manifestation of the Spirit, listed as a bona fide manifestation of the Spirit. He's comparing it to the twerkings and the twistings and the jerkings of somebody who's possessed by this religious spirit. It can't be done because it's not the same thing. Your hands, he has often lifted up, and again he has raised your fingers in various ways. Your eyes open and shut by the Spirit now, as they did not before. In other words, people's eyes were opening and closing, you know, not at their will, but at the will of the Spirit. Okay? Your very head has been shaken by the Spirit, and you've not known why he did this. You have thought sometimes it was just to show he was living there. And that's true, but there is more in it than that. And he will show you as well as he can in a few words that some of these things are," and he goes on and on, "some things in the manifestations are very peculiar to you. You have gone on wondering about them. Don't think it strange that the Spirit works in you in many ways. His work is more than the twofold work. It is manyfold. This is puzzling many minds. They see the Spirit shaking. They hear him singing. They feel him laughing. And they're sometimes tried with his various twistings and jerkings as though he could tear them to pieces." Is that the Holy Spirit? "Sometimes it seems he is imitating the animals in various sounds and doings." This happened too recently over there. "This has been all a mystery to the saints, his work. I say is manifold. He seeks in some to show them that they are all one with each other. In the whole creation, if he shows you by making a noise as some wild animal, and that you are like that, you must not despise his way of working, for the Holy Spirit knows why he does it. He makes these noises in the animals. Can't he make them in you? Some kind of reasoning by some kind of religious spirit, you see? Well, like I said, what we've got to do is love the Word so much that we won't add to it or take away from it. People who don't are going to add to it. I've done it in the past because I listened to what I was taught by Pentecostal people. But you know, Satan's deception didn't start with me. It started way back before me. It started when the supernatural from God came, the supernatural from the devil came in to deceive. I mean, the mixture started back even with Moses and Jannes and Jambres. You know, every time the Lord moves, the devil's going to move. There are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. We thank God for them. But God has limited us to the ones that he has spoken in his word. And he says, severally as he will, and he lists them. And many of these other manifestations are just not from God. They are manifestations of religious spirits. They are to try to get us to pay attention to our senses and to our emotions. And if you do that, you'll never be able to follow the Spirit of God. To follow the Spirit of God, you've got to be weaned away from your spirit and your emotions. And yet, these particular gifts, when they come, they are a thrill in the flesh. People get a thrill in the flesh. And they're not getting an understanding of what's happening. The lost, when they look on it, they think little of the Word of God. They think little of the testimony of the people that do it. They send people home from school when they do it, in school. All these things are destroying the witness of God. It is, again, the devil seeking to destroy our witness and make the things of God foolish in the eyes of the world. Anybody else
learn anything? Was that the wild animal up there,
church? Wild animals barking. No, I was talking about in a church over in California where this thing was going on. And they were barking and making beast noises and so on and so forth, which demon spirits do.
Yeah,
you know, through people who are possessed.
Yeah.
A lot of these manifestations, jerkings and twistings and things like that, happened in Buddhism. They happen in other religions of the world. And yet they think it's a peculiar manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's a peculiar manifestation, but it's not of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's against the Scriptures.
The Holy Spirit.